Hi, welcome to episode 11. We kind of have some questions that have came up over the episodes that we would kind of just like to go back to. And we were asked this more than once, so hopefully it applies to everybody. Our first question is in regards to my friend Pam, who is the embodiment of allosophenia that I met as my good friend in this particular life. And she wants to know what happened to Pam. Pam came into your life and was a huge part of your life for a while, and then it seems like she disappeared. So the thing is that Pam did not remember Alexander at all. But as Pam kind of got to know me, she started to gradually share with me that she was having a memory that she was kind of afraid of. And I said, what is that? And she said, when I look at the mountains in this particular area, it reminds me of something that happened that was really bad. Like, I feel doom, and I feel like something really bad happened. And I realized in listening to her description that she was having her own memory, like Alexander did, of remembering his sword. And that was something that I had to figure out. And she had had no past life therapy at all. She didn't even know that what she was remembering was what I thought was probably a past life. Just had Alexander in that time frame, so I'm kind of a newbie at that time as well. But she was describing to me that when she looks at a certain mountain that's in our community, that the way that the rock formation is, because we're kind of like in a desert type community, that it was causing her to have great anxiety, and it would cause her to have tears, and she would kind of cry. And I thought, this isn't so good. So one day we were at lunch and she brought the topic up. So I just was ears to listen, like a, as I think Catherine calls it, a, what did you call that? A witness?
A sacred witness. Yeah.
So as Catherine puts it, I was kind of a sacred witness. I was just going to be ears for her that day. As we ate our Chinese food, she shared with me that she had a memory of being a young girl of about 6 or 8 years of age. And in this memory, she's watching her parents be murdered. She's a Native American child. She herself has been murdered, but she hasn't left the scene yet. So she's kind of hovering over, and she sees the conquistadors murdering not only her parents, but pretty much the entire tribe. They had the entire tribe surrounded, and she was, crying and expressing that they were killing her mom and they were killing her dad. And in that process, I realized I was her dad. And I looked at her and I said, Pamela. And she said, yes. I said, who was your dad? And man, she just started crying and crying and crying. And then she came over, she started hugging and hugging and hugging.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a spontaneous kind of a memory for her. But she could not stay in our community because of that. She had so many emotions associated with those mountains. And the fact that I was there kind of to be supportive was not enough. And she decided to move out of our community and to move across the country to an area that had no desert, no rocks, no stones, no little hills, and a very lush green environment. For her, she needed to hide from what was in her mind. And no amount of coaxing could get her to come to Catherine. I tried and I tried to get her to come so that she could get official help rather than just running away. But I have respect for that she just, she couldn't think those memories anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she wasn't ready.
And subsequent to Pamela moving back to an area where she felt really good and healthy and comfortable, she had a really nice life with her husband, and she has at this point passed away. So I kind of feel comfortable sharing with you. You don't really know who Pam is, but sharing with you kind of our memory together.
Okay, Grace, we have another question from our listeners, and that came through asking as when you were dead, and, you know, I don't call it dead. I just call it a transfer of consciousness. And on the other side with God, source, whatever anyone wants to call it, did you particularly feel anything? Can you describe what that experience was like?
You know, as you were discussing a few minutes ago, you know, we as humans are like the personality, but we have our soul, which is actually the thing that I was connected with on the other side. So although my personality was there and part of it, it was kind of like a kind of a sidecar, because it was more my soul that was reaping the benefits. And I think the biggest thing that I noticed on the other side was endless, unconditional love, love from the divine source that permeated the entire experience. It permeated me. It is something that was undeniable and kind of indescribable at the same time. From the moment that I arrived, I was simply a soul. I wasn't myself as Grace necessarily over there. But even in that state of being, God's love surrounded me and enveloped me. And I was aware of God, the divine source, and our connection with the divine source, and how there is a connection to everything and the frequency on this planet and the frequency with everything, so that God knows everything. That really personal connection that we have, I was really aware of that. And I was eager to share that information, and I'm eager to share that information with anyone. Sometimes that person is the person who's standing beside me in a store, or at a game. I might be at a soccer game or something, and people will randomly walk up to me and start talking to me about spiritual things. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think you've had this problem too, Catherine.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The grocery line checkout, especially.
Mm-hmm. I think our listeners have had this perhaps experience as well, where someone really feels comfortable enough in your space, and they have nobody to talk to, so they're going to just start talking to you. So the spiritual world of Grace and Catherine is, you know, interesting at times. But I think that when people hear that I have a memory of the other side, it makes them happier. It gives them a sense of well-being as a person, that unknowing has kind of been answered, that as a matter of fact, there is the other side and that it is real. And I think that brings them a great sense of connection to their life. And they can stop worrying about that, and they can go on with the other aspects of their life that are, you know, really more important than questioning every day whether or not there's a heaven or a hell, a purgatory, or whatever your thing is that you worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Put that aside. Let's just put it aside, yeah, temporarily, and then just go live your life. The next question that we have from a listener is, how do you know when you're having a spiritual experience? Is there some way that you can know that you're having a spiritual experience? Because some people think that you're having these thoughts and memories that maybe you're crazy. And I've been accused of being crazy by many people in my life. It's okay. I'm oblivious to it now. They don't really know the truth of what's going on inside of Grace. But some people are really shy about that, and they're afraid. So is there a mechanism, do you think, Catherine, where they can kind of know that this is a spiritual experience as opposed to being crazy? What's your thoughts there?
Well, yes. A spiritual experience like that, or a spiritual memory, tends to have, for the most part, repetition. It's something that... Mm-hmm. It's kind of like going back to Alexander or whomever, you know, the child of God. Yeah. It kept repeating itself and repeating itself over and over again. It wasn't like a whole bunch of things, random thoughts coming in here, there, and everywhere. There was a consistency to it, and you could feel kind of that it was part of you, but not part of you. And that's a spiritual experience and something that drives you on a quest to get more answers is also something that is spiritually leading you. Now, someone who generally, let's say, is crazy, I don't like to use that word, but it's having some type of a mental breakdown or something, usually has, not always, but usually has a lot of random thoughts, and they don't really fit together real well, or sometimes they do, but the storyline keeps changing. It doesn't remain consistent. And your two stories had remained very consistent in the pieces that were coming together for you. So that's the difference. And also, if someone has to ask, you know, is this really a memory or am I going crazy? Chances are they're not going crazy, because someone who is generally losing their mental footing won't even realize it or think that they're quote unquote going crazy.
Thank you for that description. I think that that really accurately defines it for me and my personal experiences. And I would venture to say that Charlie's wife had that type of a spiritual experience where when she remembered it, she felt very connected to that memory and in an entirely different way that I think that you would recognize, like you said, you would, you know, ask like, wow, this seems like it's really completely different. Thank you for those questions. We really appreciate it. Thank you to all of our listeners. If you have enjoyed our frequency journey today, please share it with your family and friends. Make sure to visit us at clovistia.com, or you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook, where we have about 1 million followers over there. Until next time, please share your frequency.